Paul is sunning himself down there in sunny Florida. And he's still down there living on a boat, he and Di. And he's probably listening to tonight's show, actually, because it's he can pick it up streaming live. So that's a pretty good deal. I think he has been the last couple of weeks listening to the show. He's called in and said he did. But good evening and welcome to the Maine Outdoors Show. And this is Bob Lehman, your host tonight. And in the absence of V. Paul, of course. And we are brought to you tonight by the Blueberry Broadcasting Network of Stations. And they are 101.3 FM in Augusta, 103.9 FM Bangor, and 95.1 FM in Rockland. We're also, as I mentioned before, podcast available and streaming live now around the world. And I can remember an old radio station guy used to give the news, a guy when I was a young guy, and he says, "Is H.V. Carlton bomb?" He used to say on the nightly radio shows, "Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea." No, yeah, I won't forget that. I never forget it. The number to call here, folks, is you want to write this down, because we got a great guest, as I mentioned, in just a moment. Number to call in is 1-800-966-1039, and please dial the whole number, even if you're local. And tonight's show is going to be a great one. Let me introduce our technician out in the behind the glass, you might say, the thick glass. And we probably wouldn't be here tonight if it hadn't been for this guy and his Sherman tank. What is that, Norman?
Yeah, it's a Ram.
That's a Ram, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dodge Ram. Man, that baby can move out. And we did a couple of circles coming over, but not too bad. It was raining and freezing solid. My holy mackerel! Yeah. Even the windshield was freezing up pretty solid too. But we made it over here at the station all right, and we're on the air. We could lose power anytime, but with it, I bet you before we're off the air, somebody said it'll be a half an inch of ice possible. So we'll see what happens. And then of course they predict another 4 to 8 inches of snow sometime in the late night and early morning. So,
you're dealing with meteorologists. They're not known to be accurate all the time.
Yeah. So welcome, Norman.
Wait and see. Thank you. Came in with ice skates.
Okay. The scourge of Grand Lake Stream, Norman Plord. I had breakfast. Aldous and I had breakfast with Norman this morning. And and his lovely wife, Diane. And boy, you had a big breakfast today. Diane had a massive breakfast.
Diane had a big breakfast.
So she had
for
ham
her.
and eggs and
yeah. For her, that was that was pretty decent. For her, that was pretty decent.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tonight's guest we have you'll never guess who tonight's guest is tonight. We have got Greg Burr coming back, the regional biologist. Last week we didn't have enough time to get all in and. The main show I wanted to talk about all the trout, different trout in Maine. We never got to it. So I was talking to my friend Greg, and he said, "Well, I'll come on your show tonight if you like." And I said, "I'd love to have you, Greg." So we're looking forward to talking to Greg Burr tonight. And Greg was going to drive over till he saw the weather forecast, and then he says, "Well, maybe I'll call in." I think that would be smart. Yes. So that's what's going to be tonight for the show, and we're going to talk about a lot of things tonight. And as I said, we'll be talking about all kinds of different kinds of trout in Maine, and there are a lot of different trout in Maine. And let's see what else we got written down here. The number to call again, 1-800-966-1039, and be sure to call that number, the whole number, if you want to get through to talk to me or to Greg. Greg will be on in a few minutes. He'll be calling in. And our outdoor digest tonight, you might as well get right to that. And that's brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. And number one on the list, of course, is snowmobiling. And they haven't had much of a chance this year, have they, Norman?
Not much. And even up north, I mean, I was up there the day before New Year's. And most places were lucky to have six inches at best, if that.
They got more snow than we got.
Well, they do, but not a heck of a lot more.
No.
I mean,
you were talking earlier about it. A lot of money lost.
Well, yeah, because they rely heavily on people coming in. I mean, how many vehicles you see coming up the interstate, you know, they're hauling snowmobile trailers are from Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Hampshire.
And the ski lodges, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they can make snow.
Well, they're making, a lot of those people are now making snow, but for the snowmobilers, you know, that's basically your bed and breakfast and your hotels and motels and restaurants are really taking a beating right now.
We'll be talking a little bit about ice fishing, I think, with Greg. And he bring us up to date how much ice there is. I'm sure he's been out there checking for who's catching what and where. And I wouldn't be surprised, but last week there was 2 inches it was last Saturday. And then Sunday morning there was 4 inches.
Yeah, my
and
son
we've had some cold nights, haven't we?
Yeah, my son went out one day and he said where he went, they had just about 5 inches of ice.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
But that's a pond. I mean, he was at a pond, too.
At a pond, yeah.
Yeah, the lakes, I haven't checked the lakes in a week, so I'm not sure where they stand.
Yeah, I think probably stay away from the main lakes right now.
Well, I know I think it was last Saturday, not yesterday, but a week ago yesterday.
Did he have any luck?
No, he didn't.
He didn't.
But a week ago yesterday, we went to Green and Phillips.
Oh, yeah?
And there was hardly any ice on around the shoreline of Phillips.
Yeah.
And Green had an area that, because it was shaded, you might have gotten away with it.
Yeah.
But it's just not really, at least a week ago yesterday, there wasn't really much ice on the big lakes.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So you didn't ice fish, Phillips?
No, I haven't. No.
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 Well, it was pretty cold last night.
Oh, I'm sure it made some ice this week. I mean, this past week. But I'm just, like I said, last time I checked was a week ago Saturday.
Yeah.
It wasn't even worth considering. Yeah. It was that bad.
Well, next on the list here I've got here is beaver trapping. You know, beaver trapping has been underway for quite a while now. And they haven't had any ice at all. I mean, to speak of, some of these little ponds, you know, these beaver flodges, they fish traps with traps, which they do. As I used to do it when I was a young fella. And some of the ice at these ponds was pretty touchy to walk on, and it's still touchy around these places where there's a water flow, and then you get some high water and all the ice is gone overnight. So I've had that happen many times years ago. So beaver trapping can be pretty touchy right now in this time of year. So, but they're not worth much anyway, so a lot of the old trappers have pretty much vanished. And you hardly blame him because the fur isn't worth that much anymore. They say a good size blanket beaver would be worth somewhere around $35 maybe at the top. And you put a lot of time in to catch one beaver and only get $35 back after skinning it out and fleshing it and stretching it and selling it. And that's what you have to do when you catch one. Just once in a while you get lucky and catch an otter and a run or something like that. They're worth a little more. But beaver casters are worth quite a bit. They're worth up to... somebody said, I think it was Bobby Martin. He's a trapper. He gets 50, 60, 70 beaver every year. We must talk with him and see how he's doing this year, because he told me recently that they get $70 a pound for beaver casters. Can you believe that?
That's pretty good.
It is pretty good, isn't it? That's more than the beaver.
Yeah, I know.
that's what he says. He says, you know, I wouldn't trap them if I was just going to trap for beaver, but when you get the casters are worth what they are, it's worth going.
We now have Greg.
Yeah.
We now have Greg, Bob.
So that pretty much wraps up the outdoor trivia. We have Greg. Are you there, Greg?
Well.
You on the air, Greg?
Hold on. You got, there, Greg?
Greg.
Hear me?
Oh, there he is.
Greg.
Okay.
We're on the air, right?
Right.
All right. Can you hang on for just a few minutes?
Sure.
Okay. You probably have the answer to this question, or maybe your lovely wife, Susan, does. I know Norm does, because Norm's going to give us a question tonight.
I can't.
Oh, hey, all right.
I can't, because I don't have the question in front of me.
Don't you remember the question we talked about this morning? It's a pertaining to the garden.
Yeah, I understand the garden. Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, okay. Now you got it, eh?
Do you have...
I've been making signs here. I could ask another question, but this is a good one.
Let's make sure now. Do you have the answer?
Oh, you're asking the question, so you should have the answer.
Oh,
you asked the question.
All right. Well, I might get challenged on this. But anyways.
Wait a minute before you ask a question. I'm going to give him let's see. How about if I give you a hand-tied streamer fly? I've been tying streamer flies like crazy all week. I don't generally get going this time of year right now, but a fella wanted some, so I've been tying him. Fella wrote, and I think he lives in Massachusetts, a fella by the name of Eric Warren, and I believe he's listening tonight. And hello, Eric. And to the missus, say hello as well. And now, Norman, do you have your question? And I'll send if somebody has the answer, it'll send them one of my hand-tied streamer flies.
All right.
What's the question?
All right, in the vegetable world, when we're talking tomatoes, so all you tomato growers out there, when you talk about growing your tomatoes, do you refer to them as being a vegetable or a fruit?
Okay, that's the question.
So,
is a tomato
a vegetable or a fruit?
A vegetable or a fruit. The number to call is 1-800-966-1039. There's probably only one line open tonight on account of the weather and other things. But we'll be back with more of Maine Outdoors. We're talking to Greg Burr. We've got a lot of questions for Greg, so stick around. We'll be right back. And we're back with Maine Outdoors. This is Bob Lehman, your host, and we have a guest coming right up. We have Greg Burr coming back this week because... Actually, I got quite surprised. The regular host of our show called me up, and he says, yesterday, he says, you're doing the show Sunday night, huh? I said, what do you mean? I just did it last week. And he said, well, you were a guest last week. You're scheduled to do the show tomorrow. I am. So I called up Greg, and Greg says, oh, boy. He says, I'd love to do it. And I said, you know, we never got half the question answered. I had a whole bunch of questions for you, And I didn't never really got a chance to ask him, and I've got him lined up here tonight, so I sure hope you're ready. But before that, if we have a question, answer.
Go right ahead, caller.
You have somebody?
I do. Well,
is somebody there? You there, caller?
Yes.
Hello? Are you there, caller?
Yes.
I don't get anything here, Norman.
I can barely hear him.
Oh, I can? I can't hear him at all. Are you there, caller?
Yeah, I can barely hear him. I mean, that's very, very difficult.
Well, I can't.
Hello.
Oh, okay, there you are. What's your last name, sir? Where are you calling from?
Well, this is the sneaker again.
Oh, really? I know who this is. This is Fern.
I listen to you guys every Sunday night, yeah.
This is Fern. Yeah. Is your wife Bossy, Fern?
Well, yeah.
That's right. I always say that to you because that's his last name. Fern, not Vern, Fern, F-E-R-N.
Right.
Fern Bossy from Norway?
Yes.
Yep. Do you have an answer to our question?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's a fruit.
Okay. Norman is an expert on tomatoes, so I'm going to let him answer.
He is right.
Norman says you're correct.
For years, I thought it was a vegetable. And everybody else that I know of thought it was a vegetable.
Yeah. You know the difference between vegetables and fruit? Why it is a fruit?
No. I don't know why.
Can't say I do it right off the top of my head. I would have to do a Google on that one.
Well, we talked about it this morning over coffee, and we said that a tomato has seeds inside.
Yeah. But I'm not convinced that's what it is because we also talked about green peppers and a number of other things.
Squash.
Some exactly.
Of squash does.
So it's got to be.
It does. I thought it did.
It's got to be something else. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, you're going to look it up. Norman's going to look it up. Not right now, tonight, of course.
No, but we do agree. It is a
fruit. But anyway, you've won. You've won another hand-tied streamer fly.
Well, that's good.
We'll send it to you. If you want to give... Norman, your address before we hang up, and how's things going up there in Norway?
Well, I would like to take a couple minutes.
Go ahead.
Seeing as how you folks, or we folks, the program, whatever like that, is heard everywhere now.
Yes.
I'd like to tell you about something that happened at Bosbuck Mountain Camps at the north end of Siskahoss Lake recently.
Yeah.
The sign that's on the side of the Parmacini Road, just before where you turn in to go down into the camps.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been up there, but it's a wonderful set of camps, and it's one of the sets of the older ones in the state. Well, some scoundrel stole the sign.
No
the
kidding.
Handmade sign.
Oh, my.
So what two or three of us have been doing the last day or two,
yeah,
have contacting everybody that we Facebook with and asking them to download that and Facebook it to their friends and keep it rolling so that we can put a huge, huge net, so to speak,
yeah,
out there. Anybody sees this sign.
Yeah. That would be able to cover the area.
That's right. That they should let somebody know.
That's very good.
It's a terrible, you know. They've had some other the people in the area at the north end of the lake, actually up and down the lake. The last couple of years, there is people that come along and they see something they want and they just take it.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes it's even heavy equipment.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Not good.
It's terrible.
How big is the sign, Fern?
It must be about 3 feet. No, I'd say almost a 4 foot circle.
Anybody circular.
In, yeah. Yeah. It's on a granite post, or was on a granite post.
Yeah.
And whatever. All anybody's got to do is go to your phone and, you know, your smartphone and key in Bosbuck Mountain Camps. And what's going to pop up is going to be the sign that's gone now.
Yeah.
And there's an explanation there by the owners and whatever like that. So
yeah,
I figured, boy, this would make a good opportunity to to get it out there.
Well, okay. I hope you get it back. Maybe somebody must know or have seen it or whatever.
Right. I can't imagine.
Pretty hard to hide a speak sign like that.
Yeah, what are they going to do with it?
People take the damnedest things these days, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
I should
it's
say
ridiculous.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for letting
Have
me
you
do
started
that.
Tying flies yet?
Oh, yeah. I'm sitting right here listening to you guys.
Oh, are you? Well, you start early, don't you?
Have to.
Yeah, have to. All those orders, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hang on and give your address to Norman, okay?
Okay.
Thank okay, you. Norman's going to put Greg on the line for me.
Yep.
He's already on the line. Greg, are you there? Yes, thank you, by the way, Fern, and we'll be in touch with you soon.
Okay.
Okay. Are you there, Greg?
I am. Can you hear me, Bob?
I can hear you fine. Maybe a little better if you talk a little louder. I don't know if I could turn it up here or not.
Okay.
But they're coming in pretty good. How's the weather down there in Addison?
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, is it raining or is it freezing? Or?
It's ice pellets.
Ice pellets?
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing. It's a good thing you decided to call in and not drive in, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. We were looking up out in the lobby out here as we came in about, you know, the weather, because we just came over on a wing and a prayer. It was raining cats and dogs. The temperature was like 26 or 27, and it was freezing solid everywhere, and the wires, everything. And the windshield wasn't 10 seconds, and that froze right up solid.
Yeah.
And so we went around a couple of times getting over here, but we made it, and we got to get back now tonight later.
Mm-hmm.
And they're predicting a half an inch of ice before it changes to what have you got there? Probably pellets and then freezing snow or whatever, sleet.
Yeah, that's what we got, sleet, freezing rain, ice pellets. I was out on the lakes today as I was yesterday. The roads were terrible coming back later this afternoon. I can tell you.
Yeah. Well, we're talking a little bit about ice fishing, and some of the things I wanted to get to first, though, was you've had quite a career with the Fishing and Wildlife Department. How long have you been there?
It's going on 40 years.
40 years?
I started working for them.
Are you kidding me?
No.
And I've known you. Too. I've known you all this time. I have.
I know.
Well, you're a piece of a guy, no question about it.
Well, thank
something
you,
going on. You went on Ron Brokaw used to call me and get down if you're going on Rednet, a place I thought or you thought it might be interested in, you'd call me and away I'd go, man.
That's right.
And it was wonderful. I'd get my pictures and everything, you know, and see what's in these lakes and whatnot, and it was really interesting. It's wonderful. I really appreciate all of that.
Great to have you along.
Yeah. So we have a call for you. What do you think of that?
Okay.
Okay, hang on. You there, caller?
Hello.
Yeah, hello. What's your name and where are you calling from?
David from Old Town.
Okay. You had a question for our guest?
No, I got a comment. I got a something I thought I ought to bring up. I have a real close buddy that retrieves snowmobiles and four-wheelers and everything that goes through the ice. He's a diver.
Oh, my.
He was up yesterday up to Chamberlain Lake, up to the farm.
Oh, boy.
Which is like three-quarters away up Chamberlain Lake, retrieving a snowmobile that went through the ice.
Oh.
Said there was hardly any ice at all.
Oh, my goodness.
He even set up his stand. He needs 3 or 4 inches to set up his stand.
Oh.
And he said he had all he could do to find 3 or 4 inches of ice to put his stand up.
Oh, boy.
So I just thought people should know, you know, now that we got a little bit of snow.
Oh, yes, that's right. It's going to cover that thin ice, you know.
Even Chamberlain Lake is not real safe right now.
So. I know. It's, that snow is just like insulation, you know. It keeps the lake from freezing, you know, and a good wind come along and as everything goes, so.
Well, it makes it look like the lake is fine. And
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. Well, it's been an unusual.
I just thought I'd bring that up to people that's going to be around and going up around that way should, you know, be careful.
I was talking to somebody this morning. You know that winter's half gone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Really, when you think about it, you know, like November, December, and is January pretty near gone? You know?
Yeah.
We've had very little snow. And
yeah,
we've been very fortunate.
Right now, the lakes around here are still open, wide open, some of them.
Oh, heavens, yes. But right up in the middle, there's just some ice fishing going on in some of the smaller ponds and some ice fishing going on in mostly coves that freeze up. My son's down a branch there, Bobby. He had been ice fishing with some friends down there, and they've done some, caught some fish, but it's around 5 inches of ice, I understand, something like that.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, listen, thank you for calling in. I appreciate the information.
All right.
Yeah. Good night. Have a nice night. And stay inside. Okay, back. You, Greg, there? Greg, you're back.
Yeah, I'm here.
All righty. Well, you've tucked right up to the fireplace and got it going nice and warm?
Yes.
All right. Okay, well, the next question I have is... let's see. What is a heritage water? Can you give me the explanation of why a lake is called a heritage lake, or while it is made a heritage lake, and what does it have to do to be a heritage lake, and so forth? Could you explain that to me and to the people?
Sure, I'll try to do that, Bob. A heritage lake or a heritage water has that designation because it has a unique resource. Generally, either it's a protected Arctic char or a protected wild brook trout population.
Mm-hmm.
So there are lakes and ponds all across the state. I think we have probably, in Down East region, we have around 14, I believe, heritage waters that we submitted because they have just wild populations of brook trout.
Yeah.
And so
you don't stock them?
No, we don't stock them. They generally, unless they come off the list, they can never be stocked. They have generally very restrictive regulations on them. But it's all wild, all native fish, all native trout.
Yeah.
So
that's a good idea.
Really tells people that this is a unique population that needs to be protected.
Yeah, that's very good. And do they have any heritage streams or rivers or brooks?
Not that I am aware of.
No.
No.
I've got some that would make, you know, a good idea to be a heritage stream or brook because to my knowledge, they have not stocked them, and I hope they never do. And I'll tell you what they are someday.
Okay.
I will mention them right now because there'll be a horde come then, right?
Yeah.
Probably, but...
We have a lot of those, you know, rivers and streams, of course, in Down East Maine that have never been stocked.
Oh, I'll bet
all
you.
Wild brook trout.
Yeah, I'll bet you.
And they all are extremely important and should be protected, not only just the populations, but the, you know, the environment around them, their habitat.
Yeah. The other question I had was about, have you ever caught any, what so-called, I guess you call them sea trout, or migrating trout from the ocean to the fresh water?
Right.
And I know there's some in Addison where you live because I've caught them there.
Yeah, we have, you know, most coastal streams have some sea-run fish, if you will.
Yeah.
Where you have, you know, resident brook trout that made their way into an estuary or into the ocean and feed out in those high salt content areas.
Yeah.
Very rich areas, you know, and they'll come back into the streams or move in and out with the tide. We have a lot of those.
It's amazing.
Hit or miss of where you go, where you can find those fish to be able to fish for and catch them. But we've got quite a few in down East Maine.
I guess you have. I know. I've fished a couple of them. And one of them was right in Addison. I had a brother-in-law that had a camp right on the shore down there in Addison. Mm-hmm. He used to buy wood lots and cut them off. And this piece of land came up right on the shore, and he bought it. Then he had a boat built so he could trap lobsters. And there was a brook ran right by his camp, not too far from it.
Yeah.
And his son came over one day with a couple of trout, and I was looking at him, and I said, boy, those are the most beautiful trout I ever saw. And I said, went over there and caught some. I couldn't believe it.
You remember what the name of the stream was?
I don't. Okay. I probably shouldn't mention it anyway.
Probably not.
No, I can tell you that on the point, it was kind of like on a point, there was this big old mansion that was pretty well dilapidated right on the water, not too far from where his camp was.
Okay.
That's all I remember.
We'll figure out where that is sometime. I want to make sure that I know where that population is.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yep.
I suppose this would be a good time to take a break right here, wouldn't it, Norman?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, you stick with us, won't you, Greg?
I will.
Okay, we'll be right back with more of the Maine Outdoors right after these massages. Stay with us, please. And we're back with the Maine Outdoors Show, and this is Bob Lehman, your host, and our guest tonight is Greg Burr, and I'm asking the questions tonight. Last week he asked me a few. Tonight I'm asking him, and I got some great questions here for him.
And before you do, we have a caller.
Oh, we have a caller. Are you there, caller?
I am here.
All righty. What's your name and where you calling from, please?
My name is Brett Vose, and I'm calling from Grand Lake Stream, America.
You know something? I was just going to bring up Grand Lake Stream for Greg, because that's under his jurisdiction. And what's the question? Greg, you can address your question right to Greg, and what would the question be?
Well, he and I might have talked about this before. I'm a 15-year guy down there. I'm a young fella, but I've been doing it for 15 years. I got out of a Grand Laker. And my question is why don't we take the salmon back up the lake after the hatchery strips them like they used to?
Used to be the guides would take them in totes
and take them up the lake after they'd done their thing for the hatchery.
Yeah, they used to do that. They used to tow the floats all the way up there. They felt that doing that really didn't do what we'd hoped, which was to put them back, keep them back in the lake, because the fish just basically, they towed them up there. They felt that they just went back down into the stream. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but that's what they felt that happened, so they stopped doing it.
Okay.
Well, that
answer your question?
It doesn't, because I got on Big Lake and I got on West Grand, very avid salmon fishermen. Numbers of our longer fish end up in Big Lake after they spawn, after they stripped them.
Yeah.
And that's why West Grand doesn't produce those 6-pounders. Because your 23, 24 inch salmon have been stripped and end up in Big Lake because they're stressed and let go right in front of the dam. And they go through the fly fishermen, nothing against that, but they end up in Big Lake where there's no smelts and they can't get fat again to make it back up, is my opinion.
You got an answer, Greg?
Yeah, you know, when they were taking the salmon up there and dropping them off, there was still a lot of salmon that ended up in Big Lake, and ice fishermen fished right off the mouth of the stream and did really, really well. So I'm not sure that that he's totally right in that. There might be some truth to it. But the other thing is too, is that we don't manage West Grand for large salmon. It's rare, fairly rare to get them over 3 pounds now. You can go down on the stocking, but you're going to sacrifice a lot of catch rate if you do that to produce bigger fish. You know, fewer fish, there's less mouths to feed. They're going to grow bigger, you know. So that's a lot what's going on there as far as producing big fish. It has to do with the numbers of fish we're stocking in there and the amount of feed that's in there. We have been coming down on the stocking some. You know, used to stock between 10,000 and 14,000. Now we're down to 9,000. You know, once I retire, that number may even drop.
How big are those, Greg?
What's that?
What's the size of the stocking?
Well, they're 8 to 10 inches, Bob. They're, you know, a year-old fish when we put them in.
6 to 8 inches?
And you're doing a great job. They're growing fast. We're catching them.
Yep.
I'm not, you know, going again. I'm just thinking, you know, my old Grand Lake way, my roots, you know, back when the great spring and there were some bigger salmon caught, you know. That brings people back to the lodges, you know.
I agree, Brett. You know, and we want to be able to do that. That the fishery down there is extremely important to those businesses, and I'm always cognizant of that. And again, it's one of the reasons why we've come down on the salmon stock and to produce some larger fish up there. And I do agree that their fish drop out once they mature and they drop down into that stream to spawn and they keep on going rather than coming back up into the lake. So whether or not the hatchery will, you know, be receptive to, you know, dragging that float up with all those brood fish way back up into the lake up by Munson Island like they used to or not, I'm not sure.
Well, I know there's a long list of guides with canoes that can fit totes with water in them, and we would be proud to take them as far as we can up lake to keep a few bigger fish.
Sure. You know? Well, I would make that suggestion to Dave there at the hatchery and see what he thinks. He's been there a long time, and he can tell you a lot of the history behind why they do or they don't do that anymore.
Right. No, and by the way, you're doing an excellent job. The fish are looking great.
Super.
It doesn't look like we're going to be ice fishing West Grand anytime soon. So it's
well, it doesn't open until February, does it?
Right, but it's
open.
Things are going. it could be an amazing spring fishery this year.
Right,
no ice
right.
fishery.
Yeah,
I agree, Brett. I agree. If we don't get safe ice there, it'll be very little fishing goes on this winter, and those fish will be there for the spring, and it just could be fantastic.
And we haven't even talked about the lake trout there. But.
Well, that's another story.
Well, I'm going to let you guys go and keep on your show, and I love you both.
Oh, thank you, very kind.
Thanks, Brett, for calling.
Tight line.
Thank you very much for the call, Brett. Appreciate
it. Brett.
I was going to ask, I was going to ask Greg about how come they lower the water every fall, but this toad can spawn more, with more success, you might say, on the shoals. And isn't that harmful to the salmon?
As far as what, Bob?
Well, you lowered the water in the lake so the toad, you told me, could have more spawning areas on the shoals. S-H-O-A-L-A-L-S, shoals.
Yeah, so they do lower the water level, but we have a, in their FERC license, they can only lower it to a certain elevation. And we've helped set that elevation to protect the toad spawning on those shoals.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes much lower than that, you can get ice scour. Those eggs can be dewatered. And, of course, then we lose year classes of toad up there at West Grand, which is what we don't want.
It would make sense to me that the salmon would make need to be protected a lot more than the toad. There's a very small toad fishery there compared to the salmon fishery. And
you feel
just didn't make
not
much sense to
as they lower the water level.
Yeah.
And how would that be?
Well, they lower the water level way down in the fall when we flushed it last year because they got a lot of rain. But every year that I've been fishing down there, the level goes down in the fall and keeps going down and down and down.
Yeah, and of course you know why these reservoirs, why they're lowered down, so they can fill them back up for the spring.
Well, that's part of it, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, they don't want to get caught with so much water, Bob, whether it's in the wintertime or in the spring, and they can't dump enough, and it puts the dam in jeopardy.
Yeah.
So they have to do that.
Yeah.
The water level control there is complicated. It's complicated by some politics that goes on. It's difficult. It's difficult for Woodland Pulp to balance everything that they need to balance with all the stakeholders there.
Yeah.
So we have a very good rapport with them, and a lot of times it goes our way for our fishermen. And sometimes it doesn't. But we're always hopeful each year when we talk with them that, you know, we're going to get the water we need for the stream as well as the lake. So we keep our fingers crossed because we do need rain at certain times. Like this fall, we got the rain.
Yeah.
We got our early fall rains, and we had plenty of water in the lake so that they could run the fishing flows that we needed for most of the fall.
Okay, well, I got to do a commercial right here, but Greg, if you want to take just a second. And then we'll get to the main topic of the evening, which is covering brook trout and silver trout and blueback trout and sunfish trout and Arctic char and so on. But I will get back to that. So while you're thinking about that, it says Alan and the crew at General Appliance are retiring on February 28th after 30 years of you might say, riding the wave, baby. Norman, where are you on that?
I'm right here, but you said it.
Thank you, Norman. You
did a good job of it.
I want to take this opportunity to thank all of our loyal customers through the years, as our good friends down at General Appliance in Brewer, excuse me. It has been a great run. We still have plenty of merchandise at great prices. I bet they do, too. And welcome you to stop by or give us a call. We are presently putting together a list of sources for people to get off-grid supplies, service, and parts, and we'll let you know about that soon. So that would be the place to go if you want to get a good deal right now, would be General Supply in Brewer. And back to Greg. Greg, I got
a
number of questions here for you. We got a caller, though, so.
Okay.
Okay. Are you there, caller?
Yes.
Okay, what's your name and where are you calling from, please?
Billy Norwood from Southwest Harbor.
Billy Norwood from Southwest Harbor. What's your question, Billy?
Well, Greg, I was wondering if they still stock Echo Lake because I can't catch cold out of that place anymore.
Yeah, we do, Billy. We stock it, you know, fairly heavy with brook trout, two size classes. We put in, was it 800 of the fall fingerlings, and then we put in, I think it's around 300 of the bigger fall yearling trout, as well as around 50 salmon a year. So we've been netting it in the fall. Each fall, the fish have been looking great, and I hear from most of the anglers out there that they're catching some very nice fish. So
I'm fishing on side of the road like we used to years ago. I've known you probably since you started this business.
Yeah.
And we used to catch our limit all the time, and now I can't catch anything 7-8 inches, you know. So
you,
I just was wondering. Okay, thank you. I listen every week. Thank you, guys.
Okay, thank you for calling. Great question. I suppose you have been out there checking fishermen already, haven't you, Greg?
Yeah, we've been out on different lakes checking fishermen already, Not down at Echo, but
because
those lakes down there are, they've got very little ice right now. But
oh, I would think. Near the coast and all.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about, we've still got a little time left, about some of the trout we still have in Maine and well, I would suppose they were unusual, you might say. Blueback trout, that's up in DeBussy country?
DeBully.
DeBully, yeah. And then, of course, there's sunapee trout down at Flood's Pond. And now they're located in other places like Green Lake and Ellsworth. There's a small population there, I understand. And you mentioned the other day about Arctic char. And, of course, we talked about Corning trout last week, and that is not really a true species. We don't know. It could be a hybridized fish of some kind. Right. But we talked about that, and that was located in Green Pond, which you checked already. You netted it twice and never come up with a Corning trout.
Right.
And but this Corning trout, as we mentioned before, was caught in the brook. Now, I don't know. It was a good-sized trout, too. I'd say by would you say by the painting that I gave you it was 12 or 14 inches?
I thought it was bigger than that. But
bigger than that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was surprised to get it. Al Martin there, it was the gentleman who caught it, and he went right back to his camp, and he was an excellent painter, and he painted the fish exactly what it looked like.
And yeah.
So it, anyway, Green Pond, I was going to ask you, if Green Pond available to fish through the ice?
Oh, boy. I would have to check the regulations on
well,
that.
Well, while you're thinking about it, we got a caller.
Okay.
And are you there, caller?
Hello, Bob.
How you doing? This voice sounds familiar.
Oh, it does. It's Adam calling. See if you want to go fishing this spring.
Oh, Adam. You'd bet I do.
Greg knows me.
Same place, too. When the water comes up, we're going. I'm ready. Yeah, you call me anytime.
Perfect. That's exactly what I want to hear.
Oh, you bet, brother. You bet.
Talking about brook trout, I've had a pretty good first of the year here.
Well, you want to tell Greg about it?
Well, 42 fish open in morning. Can't
Holy
tell you where.
Samaritan.
That was in 3 hours.
Holy, I don't know where you were. You probably hide the place, but this is through the ice.
Well, secret hotspot. Greg gets my book every year, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
He knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, Greg knows.
Oh, of course he does. I sent him a book.
I think I know, too, right off quick. But I'm not going to say where.
Oh, thank you much.
Do you have a question for Greg?
My question was, what's the chance that we can get on board with a landowner there and get some trout in Second Pond again?
Yeah, just convince the landowner to give you the same access that they have, and we're good to go.
Okay, cool. I'll do my best, put it that way.
Great.
I went in the other day. There's not even ice yet, so,
yeah,
you know?
You know the differential there. You know, they can drive right in, the landowner can drive in, and anglers only have, they can either walk in or they could take a snowmobile in, and that's it. And
right.
That's a similar access situation, so we can't stock in that situation.
Is that in Holden?
Yeah.
That's in Holden, isn't it?
Well, it's just kind of crazy because it's only, you know, it's just a little teeny drive from where the sign is to where you...
That is in Holden, isn't it, Greg?
I believe it is, yes. Dedham.
Yeah. Oh, Dedham. That's right, Dedham. Yeah.
Yeah.
Up on a mountain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my major question, Half Mile Pond.
Yeah.
It's a heritage pond, and I catch some nice trout out there every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like there's a bait issue to me.
Which one? Which half mile?
Half mile?
They're both
Amherst.
Both heritage waters.
Okay, yeah. Amherst, I'm talking about. Half mile out in Amherst.
Okay, yep.
I just had to bring it up again. Every time I go there, man, you take the canoe out and you see schools of bait, and they're like a million of them.
Yeah. Right.
Not that I have a hard time catching a trout there, cause I know the trick.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. When we were netting in there, Adam, we were taking out all the bait and the suckers that we could. Trout growth. Yeah. But it only lasts for a few years, so you got to keep at it.
Yep.
I mean, you can.
Well, I didn't know if you'd ever open it back up to the bait trapper. Or,
what's that?
You know what I mean? I said, would you ever open it back up to bait trapping?
Well, I think it's I think you can trap that one.
Okay.
I don't think it's closed. If you look at the regs there for half mile, even if it's an S4 water, you can still go in and trap it. You just couldn't use live bait. So
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, that's good to know. The walk in and out's not real good. The walk in's good.
You know, that's not fun for anybody. But you'd have to work at it for sure. Like we did, getting our nets in and out of there, and it's a tough one. That's a steep hill.
Yeah, it's definitely a good walk, and God knows, Bob, I'm ready to go catch some brook trout this spring.
Good. I know you'll catch
for you on the tailgate of the truck.
Well, thank you for the question, Adam. I will add, if I may, that V. Paul, the regular host of this show, was at me and at me and at me, wanted to know whether I was places I was fishing, and I wouldn't reveal it. I just couldn't do it to you, and I haven't revealed it as yet, and I don't plan to, and I sure hope you take me in there. You have to have a Sherman tank get into the place anyway, and he didn't want to scratch his truck up, so I told him you would if he went in there, and then that deterred him quite a bit.
So,
we get some ice, I'll send you some pictures and some beautiful salmon right out in front of his camp from my ice fishing shack.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, Adam. Thank you so much.
So Adam, have a good night, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you for calling in.
Jack, make sure. We did close half mile to the taking of live bait.
Okay.
Even though it's an S4, just an S4, and then an S17, it is close to the taking of live bait.
Is that in the law book, Greg?
It's in the law book.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. A lot of people don't pay much attention to that, I'll bet.
Well, if they don't, I think our warden service
would
take interest in that. So.
Well, I would think so. Yep. Yeah.
And I checked on Green Lake North, and you can ice fish it.
The one that was called Green Pond or Green Township 35?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. You know something, Greg? We never really got to all these trout again. Maybe we can someday. Question. But, you know, the time goes so fast when you talk about fishing and everything with you. It always does. Just like last week when we were talking. And we haven't got much more than a minute left right now, and it's just great to have you back on the show. So stay inside and don't get froze up down there. I hope you don't lose your power again. It'll be a lot of power losses around.
Right.
I think after tonight, a lot of places, it's a big wonder we're still on the air right now with all of the ice.
Oh.
And Norman and I, we got to slip and slide all the way home, but we will.
I was outdoors. It is icing up.
Thanks a lot, Greg, and good night.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Okay,
thank you,
bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, how much time we got left now?
We have about 15 seconds.
15 seconds. That's just in time to say, just about enough time to say, this is Bob Lehman, your host, and Norman Plord out there in the tech room saying, Main Outdoors Show.
It is the Main Outdoors, but we still...
and we'll be back next week, same time, same station.
And here comes the music.
You bet. Good night, all.
Good night, folks.